Hi guys, Liz Wheeler here. I'm joined today by a very special guest, a Hollywood treasure. And the reason I say that is not only because he is a delight to hang out with. The last time we hung out, we were actually on a rooftop in Hollywood. I think you were smoking cigars. I was trying to make sure that my hair didn't smell like cigars. But with me, he's also conservative in Hollywood, which is unusual, is Nick Searcy. Nick, good to see you.
Nice to be with you, Liz. Yeah, I hang out on rooftops in Hollywood a lot. That's what big stars do.
Totally. Yeah. And then I left at like 9 p.m. to take care of my kid, right?
Right.
Okay. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about your film, your documentary. It's a very important piece that, of course, the mainstream media and the left and your peers in Hollywood don't want to talk about. Your film is Capital Punishment. And it's a very unique look at what happened on January 6th of 2021. It's different, I think, than other pieces that have been done that have traced what actually happened on that day. You look more at the repercussions of what happened to the individual people that participated and their families. And so I want to give people just a little peek, if you haven't seen this, a little peek into what the film is about.
Another flash bang went off on the side of my house, and I could see the silhouettes of about 10, at least 10 on the side of my house. You could just see all the tactical gear and everything. And my dog was right next to me, and he was going crazy. And I said, let me secure my dog. Hold on. I said, if you don't open the door, we're going to break in the front door. And I'm thinking, okay, if they take me away, I don't want to leave this big hole in front of my house for my family.
Right.
At that point, the back sliding glass door breaks. They come in through that.
I was confused, and my hearing was starting to come back, and it sounded like war.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. There was flashes and just the loudest bangs on the door. It was like almost shaking the house. My dad was at the door, and he was about to open it, and I went to grab my dog. Before I can grab my dog, they handcuffed me.
Tell me what that is. I mean, it's hard to believe that a 13-year-old girl even spoke that words. Her dad was at January 6th, and as a result, she was handcuffed?
I happened to be there on January 6th, and what I saw didn't match anything that I was seeing in the media. There were so many people there, and most of those people that were there didn't even know anything bad had happened. They weren't part of any of that sort of vandalism. And the Martinez family, Tony went with a friend of his named Derek Kennison, who's also in the film. Neither of them went in the building. All they had with them that day were first aid gear in case anybody got hurt. And both of them, it was the same experience. 6 a.m., FBI raid comes down their little suburban neighborhood, breaks down their door, armored vehicles, a SWAT team. They have red dots on their chest when they come out of their house. And in the Martinez family's case, Isabel Martinez is 13 years old. They brought her outside and handcuffed her, a 13-year-old girl. And I mean, it's hard to understand why they would do this unless you just accept the fact that they are intentionally terrorizing people who went to Washington on January 6th.
So just to clarify something you said, this man didn't go into the Capitol, so he didn't commit any crime. Why did they raid his house? What was the charge?
Well, they are charging him. He is one of the people named in the lawsuit by the Capitol Police against 33 defendants, including Donald Trump. And the reason that they are claiming that they're part of a conspiracy is basically they sent emails to each other saying, do you want to go to Washington on January 6th? And one of the people that they had emailed to at some point did go in. But neither of them went in, and they didn't even know that the other guy had gone in. So and this is happening over and over again. I talked to a lady last week. She's, of course, not in the film because they did the same thing to her on June 22nd of this year, 18 months later. They came to her ranch in Texas. They breached the gates. They screamed, come out of the house. And they had same thing, red dots on their chest. A bunch of SWAT team members. These people never went in the building. And it's happening over and over and over again. And the only reason I can put to it is what we say in the film. They are intentionally demonizing these people and terrorizing them to send a message that don't ever do this again. Don't ever protest again. Don't stand up to us no matter what you believe.
And imagine if this were the reverse. Imagine if this were liberals who were protesting a Republican president.
Yeah.
And if the FBI under a Republican president was essentially swatting these people for nothing, this would be headline news across the nation. The mainstream media, liberal pundits, talk shows, podcasts, Twitter would blow up with this. This would be everywhere. But you don't, if you don't watch your film, a lot of it, you wouldn't even be aware that these people had been terrorized. There are a couple of people, a couple of the January 6th defendants whose names are maybe recognizable to the American public because they're the ones who've been held in solitary confinement for so long. But people like this, most people have never heard of them. Talk to me a little bit about Simone Gold, too. I know this is a big part of your film.
Yes, she told the story of how she her apartment was breached by the FBI, much the same kind of pattern, 6 a.m., breaking down the door. And Simone Gold, as you know, is a fairly well-known public figure, was before this head of the frontline doctors who stood up against some of the COVID mandates and tried to tell the truth about the vaccine and the effects of the virus. So she was already a target. She went to Washington on January 6th. She was invited there to make a speech. When she got to the place that she was supposed to make the speech, they said, it's been canceled. And they said, why don't you go on inside the Capitol and make your speech in there? And she was invited in by the Capitol Police. They brought her in there. Somebody handed her a megaphone. She read her speech through the megaphone in the rotunda room in the Capitol and then left. And that night, she was sitting at dinner, and the FBI released 50 most wanted, insurrectionists, and she was one of them. And to cut to what happened recently, I mean, Simone Gold wound up pleading guilty to one count of trespassing, which is a misdemeanor. And in return, the judge sentenced her to jail time, 60 days in federal prison. And this is targeted punishment. I mean, it reminds me of what was done to Dinesh D'Souza back during the Obama administration. They are literally putting in prison people for disagreeing with the Democrat Party.
And it's happening right under our noses, right in front of our eyes here. When you were putting together this documentary, did the elements of the stories of these people that you were hearing, did they seem at all, or I guess this would be in hindsight, did it seem at all predictive of the raid that the FBI just staged on Mar-a-Lago?
Well, I think I was so shocked when I was hearing all this. I couldn't believe that this was happening in America. And over again, these stories are the same. And, some people we didn't even make it in the film. There were so many of them. And when the Mar-a-Lago raid happened on the Trump property, I mean, I wasn't glad that it happened, but I thought that I did have the thought, maybe this will bring some attention to the fact that this is happening to normal Americans over and over and over again, and has been happening for 18 months now. And nobody seems to be saying anything about it, and not even President Trump. And, in some ways, I think these people have not been defended by the people that they have really gone out of their way to defend. I mean, they were there on January 6th, not to do anything violent, but to express their concerns about, perhaps a faulty election. And the people that they were trying to help have not helped them back as this persecution has gone on. So little attention has been paid to these stories that I'm hoping that the Trump raid will wake people up and make people realize what is going on in this country.
Did the people that you talked to feel betrayed that President Trump or his administration or people associated with the Trump orb now haven't spoken out in their defense more? Or do they understand that it's for political reasons that he's not doing it? What's their mindset?
Well, I think they understand that perhaps the reason he hasn't is because of what you're seeing now, where it's obvious that the media and the Department of Justice and the FBI, they are trying to indict Trump. They're trying to charge him with something so that he cannot run. So I think they understand that aspect to it. But still, there's a lot of frustration out there that there has not been a very vocal, some vocal support from the Trump camp about all of this persecution that's going on.
I wonder if those around Trump, maybe including Trump himself, didn't realize the extent of the abuse, as so many Americans didn't, until what happened to Mar-a-Lago happened to Mar-a-Lago. I wonder if we'll see a change in the narrative moving forward. Let me ask you this, Nick. Assuming that Republicans win at least the House of Representatives, if not the Senate, and I think that we're going to win in a landslide, a red wave in November, what action would you like to see from both of those houses while we still have a Democratic president to address the abuses towards these January 6th defendants and the FBI weaponizing the power of the federal government?
I would like to see them do an actual legitimate January 6th committee and not the show trial that Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have put on. I'd like to see them actually call witnesses and say, who was Ray Epps? Who were these people that were changing clothes in the bushes, as you see in our film? There were Antifa and BLM activists, known activists in the Capitol, and they were disguised. And we have this in our film. Christopher Wray lied when he said that there were no Antifa people there. And I would like to see a legitimate inquiry into what actually went on, because there were instigators there that were not Trump supporters that caused some of the violence. Not saying that nobody on the Trump side did anything wrong, but I'm saying there was definitely an element there that has not been investigated, and I'd like to see that brought to light.
What about undercover FBI agents who weren't just there to observe?
Yes, there's evidence of that too, and I've talked to many, many people who have firsthand knowledge that there were FBI agents there involved. One who's a brother of an FBI agent who says that I know the FBI agent was there because it's my brother. And so there's no question that there were elements of the government there. There's no question that the fact that the National Guard was refused, told to stand down. There's so many mysterious elements to that that are to this day that are worth investigating, that the January 6th committee, present-day January 6th committee, has basically tried to cover up. Their investigation has been a lot like the Mueller investigation. It's there to cover up their crimes.
Yeah, certainly. A fishing expedition to target the one person that they think or that they dislike the most, which is, of course, Orange Man Bad.
Right.
Do you think we should abolish the FBI? Is it corrupted to the core?
Well, I do think it's corrupted to the core. I don't know exactly how you fix it. I think that it's been a long time coming. And this, this started in the Obama administration when they started basically drumming out people that didn't agree with them. And it's continued through the Biden administration. And, you know, the whole thing with the vaccine mandates, and, you know, they have drummed out of the military. They've drummed out of almost every institution in America. Anybody that does not wholeheartedly believe in what the Democrat Party wants to do. So there has to be a huge overhaul. There has to be, I don't know if disbanding it completely is the way to go, but it's got to be completely reworked.
I've said farming out the vital functions and raising the rest might be the way to go.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, in Hollywood, who's the most high-profile actor who is secretly conservative? That would surprise us all.
Well, if I said that, he wouldn't be secretly conservative anymore, would he? I'll just say this. There's a lot of people.
I knew you were going to answer like that.
There's a lot of people who, come to me and say, you know, I agree with you, but I would never say so because I know it would hurt my bottom line. I'd probably never work again. And, you know, it's people you would recognize. It's people you would know their names and faces. And I always say to them, you know, you could always make documentaries about January 6th. That's what I did. Stop. And I always try to tell these people, we need to stop being afraid of them. I mean, you know, I've been very vocal about who I am since about 2015 when I directed Gosnell, the movie about the abortion doctor. And so ever since then, you know, everybody knows where I stand, and I haven't starved to death. I've been working quite a bit ever since then. I've got two movies coming out this year, and, you know, about to hopefully make a deal to direct a movie early next year. And, you know, we just got to start standing up for what we believe and do what we do, and we'll find our own way.
And I'm never going to stop asking you that question in the middle of interviews, hoping to catch you off guard and break news and out some secret conservative in Hollywood. Okay, can I show everyone watching this my favorite part of the film? And this, when I say my favorite part, you did a lot of good reporting, a lot of good journalism. There's also a lot of good satire in this film. And I want to show people, if I may, my favorite parts. Take a look.
You bet.
I think the issue is, what do we need to do to make sure that our enemies and the terrorists cannot establish safe havens?
Mr. Searcy, thank you for attending this hearing today. I understand that you you attended the insurrection riot on January 6th.
Yeah, I attended. So what?
What exactly did you do while you were there?
I walked around a lot. I saw a lot of people praying. I saw a lot of people singing.
Really?
I saw a lot of people waving flags and singing the Star Spangled Banner and saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Is there any reason that you can give this committee today as to why we should not throw you in jail right now without bail for being a white supremacist, racist, terrorist, insurrect?
Does this thing work?
You did not tell the truth, and you tried to cover it up.
Do you think that massacre was a fabulous achievement?
Yes,
I Mr. Heard. Chairman, this is outrageous.
No.
You have a witness.
Reclaiming my time.
Never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been.
I yield the remainder of my time to one of the other fine communists up here on the...
1 year ago, I was waitressing in a taco shop.
I'm in my time.
Put your mask on.
I came here on January 6th because I love this country, and that's why I'm here now. And if you don't like it, you can kiss my ass. Bailiff, please handcuff Mr. Searcy, and then bark at the hole.
My favorite part of that is Nadler with his mask below his nose.
Yeah.
Slays me. That's very funny, very funny. I highly recommend that people watch Capital Punishment. Do you want to tell people where they can find your documentary?
Absolutely. The easiest place to go is capitalpunishment.locals.com. And also nickcersei.locals.com. You can either buy the film standalone, or if you become an annual subscriber of mine, you get the film and all the other extra stuff too. So,
well, that's great. Capitalpunishment.locals.com, nickcersei.locals.com. We're all on Locals, so yeah. Everyone watching this is very familiar with that. Yeah. Highly recommend you watch it. Thank you for sitting down and doing this interview with me. I had a great time talking, and really good work on this film. You should be proud of it.
Thanks so much, Liz. Anytime. I'd love to come back and we'll talk again someday.
Definitely, we will do. And as always, guys, if you want exclusive early access to interviews just like this one, then you can join the Liz Wheeler Show community on Locals at lizwheelershow.com/locals.